You know, we hear a lot of times about, maybe you've seen illustrations. I got an email this past week about an iceberg and how much of the iceberg is below the surface. It just looks still a little too loud. Turn down some, Paul. We get it together. Anyway, as we most of us know, I'm sure, most of the light iceberg is below the surface. And I think that's so true about Paul Andrews. I have seen so much of his talent and ability come out in the last month or two. Just like this, I talked to Paul last week so that wouldn't be picking up the noise. And several years ago, when we were living in Germany, when I was working with the church there, I came back to visit the family, and their son was working the church in Oklahoma. And they had asked me to speak that night. And that Sunday morning, I'm lying in bed, which is my normal pastime on Sunday morning. And her son came in and said, "Mom, where is Dad's shoes?" And she said, "What?" I said, "Where's Dad's shoes?" She said, "Well, they're over there. What do you want with them?" I said, "I'm going to take them to the building and nail them behind the pulpit so he can't move. Because I can't stand still when I'm speaking." Paul has accommodated me so that he can also pick up the tapes and get the things on the tape so I don't have to hang behind the lectern all the time when I'm speaking. Glad to see so many of you here today. It's wonderful to see Billy and Tim's family and Brian and just so many of you. Visitors from Dallas, it's amazing. We're glad you're here today to be with us. Hopefully you go home and learn something. You learn something today about God, about your life, that would be beneficial to you. So as we go today, and again, Paul has worked it up so that we have not only just a overhead, but we have a computer. He put a computer in the office yesterday and hooked it up to the network so that kick back and forth between each other. It's amazing what talents that Paul has. I'm glad he's working with their young people. If you came today expecting to hear a Father Dave sermon, you'll go home disappointed. Because I thought about it, and I gave deep thought about it. I decided I'm not going to do it. Because in today's life, there are so many people who have got such a wonderful relationship with their father, and then there's people who don't have a good relationship with their fathers at all. And to be honest with you, I didn't want to inflict any pain on those, honestly, that have a bad relationship with father. And those who have a good relationship, I don't need to say anything to you, because you already got it anyway. And there's nothing I can say or do that would help that, probably. I know that several of your people that you know in that you hear today, one, Larry King, has just written a book on about being a father. And I guess if there's anyone qualified, it's him, because he's got the age to show it. But one I might want to recommend to you, if you want to get a good book on fatherhood, is one that Tom Brokaw, the retired NBC news analyst that just recently retired, but Tom Brokaw has just published a book about fathers, and it's got some good stuff in it if you want to read that. I want to talk today about, in essence, the same thing, because I know of fathers. I want to give you an illustration at the end of the service about a father, my father. But if you will, open your Bibles over to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John 1. And we're going to be talking about walking in the light as He is the light. 1 John 1. Still a little loud, Paul. 1 John 1, beginning in verse 5 through verse 10. "This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." Now, as Paul mentioned, he has one translation, and we go through the world today, we can find over 100 translations of God's Word. King James, New King James, Revised Standard, New Revised Standard, Open Bible, NIV, yada, 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 and the list goes on. And we get all kind of different. Matter of fact, there's one Bible that I have that you open it up, and there's four translations side by side called the Thompson. And you can read one translation, one another. Let me give you a Ralph Beatty translation of what I just read you in verse 5. This is what we heard from him and what we told you. God is light, and in God there's no darkness, period. In verse 7, but if we walk in the light as God's the light, then we have fellowship with everyone, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from every sin. And if we say we don't have any sin, we're lying to ourselves. Therefore, we're not telling the truth. But if we confess our sins to anyone and everyone, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us those sins and to cleanse us from everything. If we say we've not sinned, we're not only lying to ourselves, we make him a liar too. And he don't live in us. Now look back at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Ralph's translation. If we say we know him and we don't walk it, we don't walk the walk, we don't really talk the talk. If we say we have fellowship and we don't walk it, we're lying to ourselves and everybody, and we don't practice that. You say, that's a little far-fetched, but I don't think so. I think it covers exactly what John intended us to cover. Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, right at the end of the book, he said, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost for the remission of their sins. And we hear people say, well, we hammer and hammer and hammer and hammer and talk about this baptism. I'm not hammering on it. God put it in his book. Now, if God says it, the old adage it, it's not a matter of word or not. We've seen bumper stickers perhaps says, God said it, that settles it, period. And that's it. Some of them said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. It doesn't matter if we believe it or not. God said it, that settles it. There are some things in the Bible that's hard for me to handle, folks. There's some things in the Bible that, be honest with you, I wish wasn't there. Because it gives me grief. There's some things in the Bible that says, do this and don't do that. Don't give me any trouble whatsoever. But some of them do. But the context is the whole thing is God's law. And if God says we're going to be baptized, you know, we have people who are disciple makers. We got disciple makers in this room. We got disciples makers in this room who are not making disciples. Because sometimes disciple makers get weary of making disciples. Yet Jesus said in Matthew 28, go and make disciples. Now, because I get weary of making disciples, does that prevent me or stop me or give me an excuse to not make a disciple? No. Jesus said, go do it. I got an obligation to do it. If I'm going to walk in the light as he is the light, then if I'm going to do that, then I need to have fellowship. We hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and some people say you're just driving in the ground. No. God put it there and that settles it. Just because we have people who are growing weary of making disciples, or people who make disciples, and as the old saying goes, they come in the front door, they're baptized, and around the back door, and we never see them again. Why is that? Why does that happen? Because I believe that we don't have I'm going to use the word a follow-up system. We rejoice and happy and clap just like y'all did a couple weeks ago when someone was baptized with Nikki and Rob was baptized. It's a good time. Has any of us gone to Rob or Nikki one-on-one and said, what can I do to make you help you be a better Christian? Has any of us in this building, in this family, gone to either Rob or Nikki and said, I want to help you where I can? Or do we just assume, that Steve and Kathy will take care of it, or Paul and Maureen? Or we assume that because he's related that Tim or Bill or Dorothy or, you know, Michelle, others will take care of it because we're related? Or it is all our responsibility. Yes, it is. And we lose so many people who are baptized because we don't put that personal effort into it. We lose so many because people are not walking in the light as we should be walking. And if we're walking in the light as He is the light, then what? Then we'll have fellowship one with another. And what? And the blood of Jesus Christ continuously cleanses us from all sin. What if I'm not walking in the light? Then is the blood going to continue to cleanse us? No, it's not. It's a two-step process. If I am going to get married, it's going to take a woman. It's going to take two of us. If you're going to go get a job, it's going to take an employer as well as employee. So it's going to take us helping new Christians. It's going to take new Christians relying on people who are already. Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light, like a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. For the 4 years almost that we spent in Germany, Germany is a lot of hills, a lot of hills. Therefore, they preserve their flat ground for property, for gardens, for crops. And anytime they build, it's ironic, when they build in Germany, they only build one direction now. That's up. If there's a 10-story apartment there, next month there'll be a 20-story apartment. They only build up. And they only build, as a rule, in the countries on the hillside. They don't build out in the foreign land. They don't have a little community springing up like we do in this territory. They don't have the space for it. So everybody there, when a new village begins, they build up on a hillside. And it's so, so neat. Knowing this scripture in Matthew 5, you're like a city set on a hill. It's so neat at night to be driving in Germany and a bunch of hills and valleys, and you come up over a hill and bam, there is a city on a hillside. You cannot go wrong. If you know where the cities are, you know they're all on a hill. You don't look down in the valleys to find a city. And I think it's so neat because at the time Jesus, in Matthew 5, in the Beatitudes, when he's talking about this, he was in that territory where they built on the hills and back into the hills. So we, people, Christians, are to be like a city set on a hill. When people see us, our light should shine. We think about that. I want us to look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Galatians 6, verse 9. Paul is writing here to a church. Have you ever had the occasion to say, I am so tired of church work? I am so tired of church work. I'm so tired of getting up on Sunday morning and listening to somebody complain. I'm so tired of doing this. Paul tells the church in Galatians, he said, don't be weary in doing well or in doing good. Don't be weary in well doing. Have you gotten weary because you had a church chore to do? Whether it be cleaning the building. I come up here yesterday afternoon. There she is cleaning the building. I come up here yesterday afternoon and there's Tim on the ladder. Good elder doing deacon's work. Something you need to look at. I come up here yesterday afternoon and here's Patty out there putting books in the bookcase. We weary in well doing? No, it's just something that needs to be done. It has to be done over and over and over and over. So don't get weary in it. Do it. Press on. Walk in the light as He is the light. How do I know what I need to do? What should I do? One thing is, we need to be in God's Word. I don't know how much you spend in God's Word. But let me give you an illustration. I came back from Japan 1900 a long time ago. And I went home after being gone for a couple of years. That's where I met Jenny. Apple of my eye, that's the woman I want. I'm 21 years old. I spent a few days, about a month there, and I get stationed, of all things, living in Tennessee. I'm stationed in Washington State, which I thought was the pits of the world at the time, at Tacoma. But you know what? Every day, I go to the mail room, and there'd be a letter from Jenny. And every day, she'd go to her mailbox, there'd be a letter from me. Now, sometimes, due to the system, I might have two in one day. But just visualize this. I go into the mailroom every day at noon. Go to lunch. Go to the mailroom. Go in there. They see my face. They know. They reach in a little squirrel cage. This is different. They didn't even have a lock and key. They just had a guy behind the counter and gave it to you. He reaches in. He hands me my letter. There's a letter from Jenny. Boy. I put it in my pocket. And I tell myself, I'll read it Saturday. You think so? I don't think so. I read it in the mailroom. I open it right then. And the next letter that comes, I can put it in my pocket. I said, I'll read it Sunday. Or I'll wait till I get five and read them one time. No way. I read them right then. Why? Because it's from Jenny. Somebody that loves me. Cannot the same analogy be applied to God's Word? Read it when we can, instead of saying, I'll read it next Saturday. What about talking to Him? At the same time, this was back in those 1900 long time ago also, when the telephone, you know, you pick up the phone and the operator said, may I help you? Some of you have no idea of what I'm talking about. And I say to the operator, yeah, I won't call long distance to Tennessee. This is from Tacoma, Washington. And after... You know, in a few minutes, this voice says, hello, and I said, Jenny, and I begin to tell her what I think of her. And after about 3 minutes of me spouting my mouth, this voice says, this is not Jenny, this is her mother. What did I think? What did I say? And it happened yesterday. I called out to Dale's house last night to talk to Dale about leading singing this morning. And this voice answered the phone, and I said, Dale? And Billy said, no, this is Billy. See, it didn't sound like Dale. And back in those days, you couldn't tell who was who on the phone. And here I'm out on the phone talking to my future mother-in-law, telling her what I think about her daughter. I was relieved to know that evidently she didn't get a gun wanting to kill me. But you see, if we love someone, we're going to talk to them. And we're going to be in their letter or in their communication. And if we love God and we're going to walk in the light as He is the light, we're going to be reading His Word and we're going to be talking to Him. No charge involved. One of the things that I had to consider at that time, 50 years ago, whether or not I could afford to call Jenny. It was not a penny a minute then. But when I had the money, when I was capable of it, when I could, I called her and talked to her. We have the capability to talk to God anytime we want to at no charge, folks. So how do I walk in the light? I read His Word, I talk to Him, and I try to do and mimic what Jesus did. Can you imagine Jesus as a 10-year-old You know, we don't get anything about him in the scriptures from the time he was 12 until he began his ministry. Can you imagine Christ as a 14-year-old going to school? I imagine they had some kind of educational program for the kids. You know they had to. Can you imagine Jesus going to school? Can you imagine getting in a fight with one of the kids on the school ground? Ever think about it? Ever think about Jesus going to school and seeing a piece of candy he wanted to steal? Ever think about Jesus Christ wanting to steal a piece of candy? Huh? Ever think about Jesus Christ as a 19-year-old looking at that Jewish girl and saying, what a bod, if you could even see it. Ever think about Jesus being tempted to have a sexual relationship with a real Jewish girl? Did that ever cross your mind? Or you just think about Jesus being something holy and cast with the ghost that just is above all that stuff. Now put on the slide of Hebrews. If we look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, and realizing that Jesus Christ, although he was the Son of God, Jesus Christ went through the same thing we go through, folks. When something happens to you and I say, I can't handle it, rest assured it can be handled because it has been handled. The writer of Hebrews says, chapter 4, verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with their weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Is there a sin that you are capable of overcoming? Yes. Is there a sin you're not capable of overcoming? Yes. Is there a sin that Jesus was not capable of overcoming? No. But the writer of Hebrews says he was tempted in everything that we are tempted in. Think about Jesus Christ being tempted to steal a piece of candy. That just it is hard for me to digest. Jesus, he's perfect. And he was. He just fought the temptation. Like Dale mentioned a while ago. Flee. Resist. And flee. Ever watch a little, I don't know what you call them in Washington. In Texas, we call them a creek. A little piece of water, not very wide, 12, 14 inches. And as it travels down a hill, it begins to get larger and larger. And it makes all these turns. And as I go up Mount Spokane Road, I come down on the side and there's all this stream going by. And it is pretty wide. But he keeps making these turns. Why is that? Because he hits something and it can't get over, so it goes around. And I see the devil doing that. If the resistance, that the temptation is to us, if we resist, the devil will turn, he'll flee, Dale pointed out, but he'll turn and go another direction and maybe attack us somewhere else. But if we are resistant in that area, you're not going to hammer it to death. He'll just turn around and go somewhere else. Hopefully he'll go to Tim or to Steve or to Dorothy or somebody else and leave me alone. But walk in the light as he is the light. And Jesus had every temptation that we have. He thoroughly understands and he overcame it. And that gives me strength. I want to close by telling you an illustration about walking in the light. When I was about 11, 10 or 11, I grew up out in the country in Middle Tennessee. We had a farm. And one spring, I was down around, we had a chicken house and a barn and another building and a corn crib and all this stuff. And I was down, that's where I hung out, the horses and the cattle, etc. And I was down there one morning and my dad came through. I said, where are you going, Dad? He said, I'm going to the store. Now, if you get in the car and drive around to the store, it's about 2 miles. But you walk through the back field, it's about 300 yards. He said, I'm going to the store. I said, can I go with you? Sure. Now, I wanted to go because normally when I went to the store, I got at least a piece of candy. Either from the dad if he had a little change left over, or from the guy on the store if he had pity on me if I looked pitiful. So as we climbed the fence and began walking through this field that was about 10 acres that had just been plowed, hadn't been cultivated or disc yet, just plowed, had the ground turned over. And I recall it was hard for me to step there, but I found all of a sudden it's easy. I'm stepping in my daddy's, where he stepped, and in his footprints. Now, I had to stretch to do it, but he was pushing down this big old pounds of dirt that was there, and I could walk in his steps and not have to be so rough. Went on the store. I don't even know if I got my candy that day or not, but we came home. Went up to the house. My mom said, son, the next time you go to the store with your dad, you let me know you're leaving first. I said, she's superwoman. How does she know this? I said, how'd you know I went to the store? She said, well, I needed you to do something, bring in some wood, no doubt. And said, I hollered for you, and you didn't answer, and I went down to the barn, and you wasn't there. But I knew that I'd sent your father to the store. I knew you liked to go, and I looked over in the field, and I saw your footprints inside of his. And I knew he was with your father. And I knew he'd take care of you. I walked like my father walked. I knew he'd take care of me too. And if we will walk like our father walks, he'll take care of us. He won't let any harm befall us. So if you have a need this morning that you want to put on the hearts of the people at this congregation to pray with you, become a Christian, all you got to do is just let us know what it is. Dale's selecting a song. Let's stand together and sing.